Proverbs 21. The king's heart is like streams of water, and the Lord's hand, he directs it wherever he chooses. All a man's ways seem right to him, but the Lord evaluates the motives. Doing what is righteous and just is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. The lamp that guides the wicked, haughty eyes, and an arrogant heart is sin. The plans of the diligent certainly lead to profit, but anyone who is reckless certainly becomes poor. Making a fortune through a lying tongue is a vanishing mist, a pursuit of death. The violence of the wicked sweeps them away because they refuse to act justly. A guilty man's conduct is crooked, but the behavior of the innocent is upright. Better to live in the corner of a roof than to share a house with a nagging wife. A wicked person desires evil. He has no consideration for his neighbor. When a mocker is punished, the inexperienced becomes wiser. When one teaches a wise man, he acquires knowledge. The righteous one considers the house of the wicked. He brings the wicked to ruin. The one who shuts his ears to the cry of the poor will himself also call out and not be answered. A secret gift soothes anger, and a covert bribe fierce rage. Justice executed is a joy to the righteous, but a terror to those who practice iniquity. A man who strays from the way of wisdom will come to rest in the assembly of the departed spirits. The one who loves pleasure will become a poor man. Whoever loves wine and oil will not get rich. The wicked are a ransom for the righteous and the treacherous for the upright. Better to live in the wilderness than with a nagging and hot-tempered wife. Precious treasure and oil are in the dwelling of a wise person, but a foolish man consumes them. The one who pursues righteousness and faithful love will find life, righteousness, and honor. A wise person went up against a city of warriors and brought down its secure fortress. The one who guards his mouth and tongue keeps himself out of trouble. The proud and arrogant person, named mocker, acts with excessive pride. A slacker's cravings will kill him because his hands refuse to work. He is filled with craving all day long, but the righteous give and don't hold back. The sacrifice of the wicked person is detestable. How much more so when he brings it with ulterior motives? A lying witness will perish, but the one who listens will speak successfully. A wicked man puts on a bold face, but the upright man considers his way. No wisdom, no understanding, and no counsel will prevail against the Lord. A horse is prepared for the day of battle, but victory comes from the Lord. Okay, let's pray together. Father, again, we do thank you. We thank you for an opportunity to once again come together and look at your word. And though many of these sayings don't seem to have a lot to do with another, we do ask, Lord, that we might gain the wisdom that you have put here for us, that we might be able to go forth and live as wise, righteous people for your honor and glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Okay, if you look at your notes tonight, you'll see that there's a bunch of questions and a lot of spaces. So guess what we get to do with them? We get to read through Proverbs approximately 7 or 8 times so that we can fill in the answers. How's that sound? So, question A, which verses deal with God? At the top of the page, you'll notice there are 30 poems in these 31 verses. Depends on the version you're looking at. As I was reading this one, they actually tied a couple of the poems together, where like 25 and 26, and the New King James doesn't. They tie 30 and 31 together. So you might have a different answer than 30 poems out of 31 verses. So moving on to letter A, which verses deal with God? Let's start at the beginning and try and figure it out. What are you smiling about? Verse 1, the king's heart is like streams of water. In the Lord's hand, he directs it wherever he chooses. Now, before we go any further, what does that tell you? There's lots of things that we might gain from that one. God is sovereign. And how does that sovereignty show itself? He directs whose path? In this verse, the king's heart. But tell me, who do we think is king in most of our lives on a regular basis? So therefore, he directs our paths. Now, mind you, we know in Proverbs 3, if you trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding in all your ways, acknowledge him and he'll direct your paths. But I think what we can get out of verse 1 as far as application goes is, wives, you can't change your husband's heart. Husbands, can't change your wife's heart. Parents, can't change your kid's heart. You can pray. God can change it. It's in his hand. And he'll turn it where he will. Now, it may not be where you think it ought to go, or it may end up where you think it ought to go, but it may have to go through some places where you don't want it to go to get there. No one knows anything about just being a little rebellious and living with the fruit of your rebellion and then getting back on the right path later. No one knows about that, right? That's great. So, just in case any of your kids learn that one, you'll know that it's still within God's sovereignty. Okay, another verse that deals with God. Oh, two. Man's ways seem right to him, but the Lord evaluates the motives. One of the things that we can't do is be judging other people's motives for why they're doing something. They may be doing something because in their heart of hearts, they believe this is what they ought to be doing. They can be completely wrong. Okay? So be careful that you're not judging other people's hearts, but God knows their heart motive. Next verse that deals with God. 3, doing what is righteous and just is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. What does that mean? Now, we're dealing with it from Proverbs, Old Testament. There are sacrifices to be done. Okay, that's one way of looking at it. It's better to do the right thing in the first place than offer a sin sacrifice later. Okay, and that's basically the same kind of thing. Mike? Yeah, and I'm not sure that this sacrifice has to necessarily be a sin offering as much as, hey, everybody, look at me, I'm religious, I'm doing all the right things, at least in your presence. See, God's more concerned that we're doing the right things than whether or not we're religiously looking like it. Okay, so that might be a second way of looking at that. Okay, the next verse that deals with God. 12 says, the righteous one considers the house of the wicked. He brings the wicked to ruin. Now, that's the Holman. Let me read the New King James. The righteous God wisely considers the house of the wicked, overthrowing the wicked for their wickedness, which makes a lot of sense. He's the only one that's really going to overthrow that. Okay? Another verse that deals with God. Say again. 30. No wisdom, no understanding, and no counsel will prevail against the Lord. Story of Paul when he was going after the people of the way. Someone challenged the leaders, why don't you just let it go? And if this is of God, you're not going to be able to stop it. If it's not of God, it'll kind of dissipate on its own. And, Paul got letters and went after him anyway. It was basically, if this is from God, I don't care. I'm going to take care of these people. And that's why Jesus could sit there and say, why are you persecuting me? Okay, another one. 31, a horse is prepared for the day of battle, but victory comes from the Lord. You can prepare all you want for the battle. If God's not going to give you the victory, you might be lucky if you live through it. There might be another verse. How about, no, it's not, definitely not 19. 29? I didn't put it down here. Shame on me. At the top of your page, do we have verse 3 and what? We don't. Yeah, we do. 27. 27 says, the sacrifice of a wicked person is detestable, how much more so when he brings it with ulterior motives. That's pretty much the same thing as 3. Here's a guy putting on all the right religious moves, but he's doing it for what reason? Well, that's pretty despicable as far as God's concerned. A couple years back, we were at board level deciding whether or not the ushers needed sports coat and tie. And pastor suggested that we went to these Lands End Oxford shirts with the little logo on it. And we explained at the time, you know, the suit coat and the tie, that comes from a time when the people who wore suit coats and ties were respectable, bankers and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Nowadays, maybe the people that wear suit coats and ties aren't as respectable as they used to be. So the idea of making people wear a suit coat and tie because it's quote-unquote respectable kind of loses some of its oomph. And so he suggested that we have the guys that are ushering buy their own shirts. We get the logo put on them, and that would be sufficient. And we talked about it 1 month, and because in essence it was going to be a policy change, we waited another month and talked about it again. Guess what the last question was? Now, when it comes to communion, we're still going to wear a suit, coat, and tie, right? Because a suit, coat, and tie makes you holy. You can slap him for me. Whole point being is, if you're doing all the right religious things and your heart isn't pure, God doesn't have any appreciation for that. Exactly. You could wear the suit, coat, and tie and be a sinful person. You could wear a t-shirt and be fine, or vice versa. It's not the clothes that makes the man's heart. Now, we still use the suit, coat, and tie for communion as a matter of respect, you know, showing some honor to what we're doing, but it doesn't mean that just because we got suit, coats, and ties up there, we're all holy. That's my whole point. Got to be righteous to have that relationship with God. And, of course, that's why we needed His sacrifice and nothing we could do. Okay, so let's go down to the next question. What do we understand about God from these verses? Well, we saw one where He's sovereign. He's in control. What else might we have seen from the verses that we picked out? By the way, if you're forgetting, it's 1, 2, 3, 12, 30, 31. And we can throw 27 in there if you'd like. He is just. He does have standards. Uh-huh. Okay. We want to grab a hold of something about God, though you're right. Mike? There you go. No matter what the situation is, if we don't have God in the right place, all the preparation in the world isn't going to help, but you should prepare and keep Him in His rightful place. How about verse 30? There is no wisdom or understanding or counsel against the Lord. Not only is He sovereign, He's wise. And Lynn and I were talking earlier today. How many times when things don't go the way we think they ought to go, who do we blame? Yeah, we blame God. It's kind of like, okay, you're going to compare your wisdom. What was that? Well, we haven't gotten to those verses yet. We blame our wives. That is the tendency of man. It's one of 10 tendencies that's in the book, Discovering the Mind of a Woman. So, We always blame our wives. That's number two. Okay. So just think about that. You know, here God has forewarned us. Here's the way you live. And we don't live that way. We suffer the consequences of it. Now, what are the consequences? They're part of the disciplinary procedures that God uses. For what purpose? To bring us back to Him. We look at it as though He's picking on me, and then we blame Him instead of running back. Just interesting how that works. Okay, letter B. Which verses deal with wealth or poverty, money, anything that goes in that theme? Number five, the plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty surely to poverty. The get-rich schemes, ultimately, they're not going to lead you to riches. Another verse? Six. And again, these two could be tied together to be a poem. Getting treasure by a lying tongue is a fleeting fantasy of those who seek death. Again, the get-rich scheme does not work. Another verse? 17. He who loves pleasure will be a poor man. He who loves wine and oil will not be rich. Which I thought was interesting because a little bit later on, verse 20, it says, there is desirable treasure and oil in the dwelling of the wise. So having oil in the house is not the issue. It's, are you living for the oil in your house or are you being wise and God is blessing you with oil in the house? So you can put 20 in there too. Is there any other verses? 13. Whoever shuts his ear to the cry of the poor will also cry himself and not be heard. Now, in this day and age, don't we have to be careful about that? Sunday morning, 2 weeks ago, not this past Sunday, the previous Sunday, brought in one of the benevolence guys, unkempt, looked like he hadn't had a shower in a while. But he came to Sunday school, came to church. Somewhere in the mix, the safety team was called and asked to check into him because, well, he doesn't fit here. We want to be careful. We have a benevolence ministry. Occasionally, that benevolence ministry might actually interest in someone coming here. And if they come here and we look at them and judge them according to the outside, James chapter 2, temporary external circumstances, we are not showing love for God or for our neighbor. Now, I'm not rebuking anybody because I don't know who called the safety team. But be careful. Now, at the same time, you got people standing on the corner with a little sign, anything will do, God bless. I understand that may be a way of taking care of yourself if you're poor. But I also know that 60 Minutes did a expose where they were talking to some of these people and they're making $80,000 a year collecting money on the street corner. Be wise. I don't know. I'm not going to tell you not to do it. Be wise. Okay? You can always give to benevolence and then the wisdom part will be put on somebody else. Okay, any other verses on money, poverty? 25, the desire of the lazy man kills him, for his hands refuse to labor. There are all too many people in this country in this day that is the truth about them. They're $733 from the government, plus anything for each kid. I saw one article today, woman had 14 kids by 14 different men. And, of course, she'll keep on doing that because the government will keep on paying her. And guaranteed, with 14 kids, how lazy can you be, moms? But at the same time, if you've been in the homes of some of the poverty-stricken, there's a lot of laziness going on. Frank?
Somewhere down south in Georgia, Alabama, they made stricter rules for getting food stamps and welfare.
Mm-hmm.
Some 60% were off the rolls.
Yeah. And personally with the people that I deal with in benevolence. I think that ought to be countrywide, but I'm not a politician. Thank you. Okay, there's one more at least on poverty and wealth. 26, the covet. He covets greedily all day long, but the righteous gives and does not spare. All righty. Letter C. Which verses deal with sin and sinfulness? 2. A man's ways seem right to him, but the Lord evaluates his motives. That could be dealing with sin. It might not be, but it could be. Okay? Another one? Okay, I've got a 4. The haughty look, a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked are sin. And Mike, did you say 6? Making a fortune through the lying tongue is a vanishing mist, a pursuit of death. You know, the get-rich-quick schemes, in essence, are sin. 10. And I don't have that one. That's okay. 10 says, the soul of the wicked desires evil. His neighbors find no favor in his sight. 7. The violence of the wicked will destroy them because they refuse to do justice. 8. I'm finding it. A guilty man's conduct is crooked, but the behavior of the innocent is upright. 16. A man who strays from the way of wisdom will come to rest in the assembly of the departed spirits. If you stray from the way of wisdom, are you walking in the spirit or in the flesh? Oh, yeah. Okay. So I guess that one deals with sin. 11, did you say? When a mocker is punished, the inexperienced becomes wiser. When one teaches a wise man, he acquires knowledge. So you have the mocker. Okay. Let's move on to letter D. Nope. What are the results? What are the results? Well, we recognize that the man who strays from the way of wisdom comes to rest in the assembly of the departed spirits. So he comes to rest in death. Any other results that we see from those verses? 7, he'll be destroyed. Yeah. Seems to be a theme there. And if you were to look at the rest of the verses, you might see some more of that. Okay, letter D. Which verses speak to dealing with your neighbor? Okay, 10. A wicked person desires evil. He has no consideration for his neighbor. I remember when we lived down in Brazil, 3 o'clock in the morning, Gustavo, our next door neighbor, his bedroom is probably 6 feet from our bedroom. And he is singing Van Halen, AC/DC, who knows? 3 o'clock in the morning. Wakes me up and I go, Gustavo, por favor. You know, it's kind of like 3 o'clock in the morning. You know, I don't care what he sings during the day, but yeah, no consideration. You know, but he was unsaved, but still. I just helped him have some consideration. Okay. Any other verses dealing with your neighbor? 13. Whoever shuts his ears to the cry of the poor will also cry himself and not be heard. Again, just be wise. I think if we go back to the having the right heart motive, if you give and they use it improperly, that's between them and God. But again, that doesn't mean you shouldn't be wise. Guy's got a needle sticking out of his arm, you probably don't want to give him any money. Or a brown bag in his hand. Okay? Now, you can go buy him a meal. Okay. Might not last very long for him. How about verse 14? A gift in secret pacifies the anger, and a bribe behind the back, strong wrath. Now, is there a place to give gifts to try and overcome the results of conflict? There might be. Yes, Jeff.
You give eggs to your neighbors, they don't report
Well, if that bribe works, more power to you, brother. The government's job is to protect you from the wicked, not determine whether or not you can raise chickens in your backyard. But we'll let God worry about that for the time being. Okay, how about verse 19 and verse 9? Is there any dealing with your neighbor in those two verses? Sort of. There is no dealing with that neighbor, and that's why you're living on the roof, right? Now, again, so that we're not picking on the ladies, what's wrong with the contentious, nagging wife?
Her husband,
she says. No, there's another problem. Okay, she's not trusting the Lord to change his heart. Verse 1. Not trusting the Lord to change hers. She's not living by faith. That's the real issue. Okay? How about verse 28? A false witness shall perish, but the man who hears him will speak endlessly. Saying something false about your neighbor, not a good thing. And of course, the second half, I'm not exactly sure, but it seems to me, but the man who hears him, well, he's just a gossip. Anybody ever been gossiped on before? Oh, yeah. How do you like that? When someone tells stories about you that aren't true. Or even if there's a measure of truth to them. Yeah. So we want to be careful about that. By the way, that's one of those respectable sins. Read the book. Yeah. Yeah. That's the tendency. But of course, we're not to return evil for evil. We're not supposed to. We're correct. I don't know. There seems to be a plan in his thought there. Okay. What about religion? Any verses on religion? Verse 3, to do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Pure religion and undefiled is this. A person keeps himself unspotted from the world, and he takes care of orphans and widows. Okay? Any other verses? 27, obviously. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. How much more when he brings it with wicked intent? Is that? 30. Well, I don't have that, but that doesn't mean it isn't. No wisdom, no understanding, no counsel will prevail against the Lord. I can see where you might throw that in there. How about verse 15? It is a joy for the just to do justice, but destruction will come on the workers of iniquity. What is worship? Giving God his due. And so therefore, to do justly, is that not part of giving God his due? And if you're doing it and you take joy in that, you're not necessarily singing songs. You may be, but you're not in the worship service singing songs. But you're worshiping. That would be a good way of saying analyzing worship. When we're doing or living according to the character of God, we're worshiping God. We're giving him his due. Okay, how about verse 21? He who follows righteousness and mercy finds life, righteousness and honor. This is a way of life for him. He's following righteousness and mercy. Okay, how about verse 23? Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from trouble. True religion and undefiled is this. Keeps himself unspotted by the world. He's watching his tongue. Well, actually, the one who doesn't watch his tongue has vain religion. Previous verse, 26 in James chapter 1. So obviously the speech has something to do with it. 29, a wicked man hardens his face, but as for the upright, he establishes his way. So those are a couple that I picked up. How about letter E? Which verses tells us about the state of man without Christ? 4, the haughty look, a proud heart, the plowing of the wicked or sin. 8, the way of the guilty man is perverse. The violence of the wicked will destroy them because they refuse to do justice. 6, getting treasure by a lying tongue is a fleeting fantasy to those who seek death. 10, the soul of the wicked desires evil. His neighbor finds no favor in his eyes. 2, the man's ways seem right to him. That could go in there depending on whether or not they're right. 13, the one who shuts his ears to the cry of the poor. There are unbelievers that don't shut their ears to the cry of the poor, but that would be one of those things that say something about a person. 16, a man who wanders from the way of understanding will rest in the assembly of the dead. 18, the wicked shall be a ransom for the righteous and the unfaithful for the upright. 12, the righteous one considers the house of the wicked. He brings the wicked to ruin. 24, the proud and haughty man scoffer is his name. He acts with arrogant pride. Okay. And of course that brings us to letter F. Chuck Swindoll says there's 180 different kinds of people found in Proverbs. So as you're looking through these, what are some of the kinds of people that you see in Proverbs 21? We have a king. We have the righteous in verse 3, 18, and 26. Could be self-righteous. He might actually be okay, but one could catch that, a self-righteous person. The wicked we have in verse 7, 10, 12, 18, 27, and 29. The scoffer or the haughty. No, scoffer's in verse 11. The haughty's in verse 4. The lazy man or the slothful. What verse is that in? Is it verse 5? The diligence in verse 5. 25. Well, you got one I didn't get. Good for you. Okay, Dave, you said? The poor. Yep. And he's in verse 13 at least. The contentious woman, verse 9 and 19. I'm sorry, but the angry man or the contentious man, he's called something else. Or an angry man, or you know, but in this particular case, okay, we have the wise man, and he is found in 22. I know I've got him. There it is, 20 and 22. The liar, he's found in verse 6. And, the false witness or the liar also. The guilty man, verse 8. Someone else in verse 8. The pure. Okay, we've got the wicked. How about verse 11? We've talked about the scoffer and the wise. There's someone else. The simple. Verse 15. We didn't. Oh, yeah, he's in there, isn't he? I can't remember which verse. Verse 10. We have the neighbor. The evildoer. Depending on your version, that might be the wicked. Verse 15. We have the workers of iniquity and somebody else. The just. Verse 18. Verse 16, you have the dead. We have the unfaithful in verse 18 and or the upright, yeah. Let me see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. 17 people talked about in 31 verses. And you might have found one or two more than that. But of course, that goes with the idea that there are 30 poems in these 31 verses. So he might talk about a lot of different people.